Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 29th of June, recording at 8:04 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, I had a somewhat shorter comment of the day here today, my miserable excuse being that I had a very long board meeting and then some other strategy meetings, all necessary and good interesting stuff, but it takes me away from my first career love, which is working with the markets and producing copy and charts for you people. But the good side, the plus side, is that I think there are two fascinating items, very different items, on the website. First, that one about oil and the way the economy has been leveraged on the basis of oil. Very, very controversial, as I said. And then a barnstorming good issue from Robin Griffiths, who's one of the heavyweight technical analysts. He's my kind of technical analyst because he uses his own approach. Like all very experienced people, they do develop their own systems overall. But what I like is that he is and always has been a technician who looks at the fundamental side. My term for this is fundamental filters. I've always used the charts to navigate my way around the world's markets, and then I like to look what's behind it and use fundamental filters wherever possible. So I do commend that issue to you, and I just reproduced the opening four paragraphs from a very, very interesting section on their portfolio philosophy, and then you can actually see the portfolio, and inevitably if you're interested in that and go through and look at the charts, you'll agree with some of it and disagree with some of it, but I think it's basically a reasonably sound premise. And you'll also note the subheading there that, or is it the main heading, about the turning tide. Now my only feeling on this, is, and there's no doubt that we have seen a pickup in risk appetite from the United States. And we have seen certainly a bit of a return of animal spirits to the stock markets here in the last two or three weeks. But remember, you know, you go back to the middle of last month, and there were a whole lot of people talking about an imminent big downward break. I myself had a lot of short positions, and fortunately was stopped out of. I stopped out at 85% of them, and should have made it 100%. And then I've added to some of those shorts to fully hedge and then somewhat overhedge myself as the rally came up. And those shorts are underwater at this stage. Fortunately, I've got some long positions there that are beginning to look up again. But it's an uncomfortable position here to sort of be basically long short. It is for me at any rate. I mean, maybe it's meat and drink to hedge funds, but I like being, I like dealing in trending markets overall, and this is a ranging market, and there's nothing harder to forecast than what's going to happen in the very short term within ranging markets. But these markets are near the upper side of ranges, and there is no new really, well, I'm gonna so stop what I was saying, and I was about to say that there are no really bearish signs, but then I was looking at some of the bank shares earlier today with James Davidson, one of my colleagues, and you look around the world, you look at things like Citigroup, JP Morgan, JC, look at Barclays in the UK, look at UFJ in holdings in Japan, and these are way, way underperforming, and that's just not a good sign in my view overall. On the other hand, I can see the basic argument here for a rally. I mean, it may well be a self-serving argument, but we've got all these various themes. The liquidity, that's the big one in my view. There's still plenty of liquidity sloshing around in the system, and Greenspan is certainly about to start the first of perhaps baby steps increases, 25 basis points a clip, incremental increases in the federal funds rate, but there's certainly no sign that he's about to drain the liquidity out of the system at this stage, and that would really require a bond market rout, which we haven't got, although the bear market ended exactly a year ago. For I beg your pardon, the bull market, the secular bull market in global bonds ended exactly a year ago, in my view, and we're in an advanced stage of overall top formation development in the futures contracts. And you look at yields, and the base formation is apparent, and indeed, I would argue, completed. Quite possibly. But in addition to the liquidity factor, we can also say that the oil price has been falling in virtually in consecutive days here over the last week and more. And now we have the 58 cents off. We've had the spot crude NYME close at 35.66. That's been helped by a restoration of the flow of oil coming out of Iraq and the Norwegian strike being called off. And then there's also the possibility that, well, maybe Iraq isn't going to be quite the unmitigated disaster for the United States, let alone the Iraqis, that a whole lot of people have been forecasting in the press, particularly from the more left-wing side of the press, but also including some of the very very right-wing types who would call themselves traditional conservatives, or as opposed to the neocons. But I don't want to digress too much on that. And then people are rolling out the understandably the theme about the election year cycle, and so on. And then, last but not least, there's the fact that all of Wall Street virtually would dearly love to see the markets move higher, because if they were to break up out of these trading ranges, then volume, which has been pretty sluggish, would start to pick up again. And you can bet that Alan Greenspan would not be dismayed by that script, and you can be even more certain that the Bush administration would not be dismayed by the script of a rallying stock market. So we're going to have a lot of upbeat talk, and then you get the consumer confidence jumped quite strongly. Now, is this a glass is half full or half empty? Old story once again, because the stronger the consumer confidence, the better the economy performs, and so on. The more likely it is that we will see more interest rates on the upside, more interest rate increases, in other words. So much to mull over here, and go back to one of that earlier points that I was going to make before I mentioned that the financial shares have been so weak generally, is that among the indices, among the broader indices here, we have seen that Japan's second section, it's pushed further into new recovery high ground here today. Remember, I put that chart up, and it had paused near the former highs, and I said it needed to consolidate there, which it did, only for about a week or so, and maybe only 4 days, and then broke up, and it needs to hold that break, and well, it's doing that so far. So that's positive, and it just underlines my view that if one has a good investment position in any developed market, make it Japan. That would definitely be my call, and either go for a fund or choose. So if you deal in the individual stocks, then obviously you choose them on the basis of relative performance. And that's something that a big section of EFM Tech, as it used to be known, now the Stockcube Research consultancy side, my colleagues, in other words, spend a lot of time working on. Now, in looking at what's happening in here today, the Nasdaq is getting the best performance here, and not a whole lot greater than the others, but It is the firmest of the US indices, and that is evidence, technical evidence that supports the bulls at the moment. But just to run through a reading here, the Dow's up 57, 284 on the S&P, and 12 on the Nasdaq comp as I speak. European markets were mixed, bit mixed in here. Asia, a bit mixed in here. So it's Wall Street, which sold off yesterday, which is a firmer in here today. Now, having mentioned those factors, which could quite well, which people have been citing that I repeated that could enable stock markets to break up out of these trading ranges on the upside. Given the patterns, given the broadening characteristics of those chart patterns, and given the stage of the cycle, I would not look for much if they break up at all. And I'm not I'm a bit of an agnostic in here on that, although I maintain my basic premise that we saw at least penultimate peaks earlier in the year, and that if they break upwards, they're unlikely to run meaningfully. And Robin Griffiths, I know, I don't know if he said this in the report, but I saw him say it on CNBC, or was it Bloomberg? I can't remember, saying that he thought that we would see 1,300 on the S&P index from its current level of 1,136. Well, I'd be very surprised to see the 1,300 this year, but the market's got to break up out of the range and hold it, and then we can consider possibilities from there on. And also, you know that unfortunately we are only one event away from just an environment that causes investors to take fright again. That could be an attack on oil supplies, so and that would certainly have an impact on the markets if it was if it were a major attack. But investors are not going to live their lives looking over their shoulders at the pro for the prospect of an imminent attack, nor should they here. So that's the situation we have. I maintain that time is against this bull run overall, and what we're really debating here is do we get a final hurrah on the upside or not? If we do, and I'm skeptical if as about that as you know, but if we do, my hunch is it's Asia. It's really Asia that would pull off the better performance overall, and I'm positioned for that if it actually occurs. And I can live with those Asian positions, even if I way overstay my welcome, and they go down a long way in the next downturn. Well, I would hope to lighten more. I wouldn't be all that adverse to a further rally. That's for sure. Although I might have to rethink my hedge short positions, obviously. The basic feeling is that, as far as I'm concerned, in the secular bear market, Wall Street could go down and stay down for some fair time. Whereas I feel that really, more likely than not, with investments in India and in Thailand and in Japan, that sure they'll go down. And I mean, and during weak market phases, the emerging markets probably go down more, being high beta. But that in the next upturn, they'll way outperform. Again, that's what I'm counting on, and I think there's a lot of historic precedent and current technical action to support that medium-term technical action to support that hypothesis. Okay, bond markets here. The U.S. bonds were hit yesterday, but they're firm today. They didn't recoup all of yesterday's losses, but Treasury bonds here, 105.14. That's up 18, as I speak. In the currency markets, dollars turn to be well, dollar the dollar and yeah, definitely the dollar has turned to be strong. I'm in here today, back up to 108.29 against the yen. The bigger move is against the euro, 120.79. That's at 106 as I speak. Now that has hit the metals in here today. Maybe not all of them, but well, pretty well, near enough all of them in here. I'm just looking gold down 873. That's taken it back to 392, so I was unable to hold that move above 400. Still range trading in here. Palladium down 770 to 220 on the close. Silver, now that silver fell yesterday, fell back from the higher side of what looks like a basing action above the big long term base, and I wished it had dipped a little lower. I think it got down to 581 on the September position. I've got orders. I normally don't mention exactly where my orders are, but I'm not averse to doing that on this occasion. But I have baby steps. You know, I've been playing this on the baby steps basis, buy it on low and lighten the positions, and that's been my strategy in silver really since the 21st of April when I started to come back in. Risky strategy. It was a bit of a catch a falling knife number, and but. I'm ahead of the game in here so far, as you know, and I've got bids in there at the 580, 570, 560, 550. Not all that imaginative, just those 10 cent increments there. So I'd buy it down right down to the bottom of the range, and my position is half of what it was when it was last down around the mid 550s. So I'm quite happy to do that, having taken profits on several occasions on the baby steps basis. Today in here, what did best? You know, the one that I've been talking about and talking about and talking about, the chart, orange juice getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And then bought, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, and then the price moved up a bit. And so I jammed in that very, very tight stop in the money, put in an in the money stop. And I partly made it tight because the spreads, unfortunately, in the with the spread betting firms that I deal with to be able to avoid the capital gains tax in the UK are quite high. In orange juice, ridiculously high given the low price. They just haven't bothered to lower them because not too many people have asked about it or asked to trade it. At any rate, this was up $1.90 in here today, closing at 63.40. Chart looks good. I hope it lasts for a while. But my hypothesis in this all along was when it stopped going down, it ought to be pretty ripe for a bear squeeze. And it would be mostly the hedge funds and some of the juice traders who would be actually involved in that short covering activity. Now they don't all come out at once because some of them, the market makers, would be very, very short term, and I would assume that they're all out and perhaps along the way I am, and some of you. But then you get some of those hedge funds which would run basically on moving average systems, and so they would wait longer for it to turn around. But certainly it was good action in here today. I haven't had time to check the news to see if there was any news, but the only news I'm aware of is that there's a vast oversupply of orange juice, but of course that's what drove it all the way down to record low prices. And at the very bottom of any commodities market, you can bet there's one heck of a lot of overhead supply, but of course you reach the point where it's all in the market and then some. Soybeans, which took a battering yesterday, where I've got a long position, currently underwater, although not so much as I was before, but a little bit steadier in here today, 726 and a half. Basically, this is a tough time to make money in here. None of us, I think, are going to get rich in this market environment where we've got these very choppy ranging trades. That's why I've been emphasizing for months now that there are times to be aggressive. Last year was a classic opportunity in stock markets and in the commodity markets. This is sort of rangy whipsaw territory in here right now because there's so much uncertainty in the markets. I mean, there are always things, there are always trades and opportunities, and I'm gratified to have been holding my own in here, as it were, and a bit more. But it's a dangerous environment overall, and I know a lot of you have quite sensibly opted to sit on the sidelines. There are times to be aggressive and times not to be, and this is definitely one of those times not to be aggressive in the markets. And is there anything that I haven't covered here? Yeah, these metals. Rue the day here, I see this lead where I've got a long position, protected with an in-the-money stop, has flopped down $43 here today to 787 in here. So, third time around, I've looked a gift horse in the mouth in terms of that nice big profit up in the 840s to 850s level. That's currently where the cash is still trading, so we've got the big backwardation, but I could use a softer dollar in here tomorrow or later in the week here to cause these to steady up a bit. So that's my broadcast for another day. Now, just one last thing to mention. I will do the big picture long-term outlook for asset classes tomorrow. That's because I have got to take a couple of days off here to take Mrs. Fuller, take a couple of holiday days to take Mrs. Fuller to Edinburgh, where we go to the very famous Sandy Wallace bicycle shop, where she will be taking delivery of and spending a couple of days there breaking in her brand new custom-made touring bike. I'll have to find a jolly good trade here to finance that. So I will be away on Thursday and Friday, but Owen Tracy will be filling in for me and no doubt posting a number of interesting things in comment of the day. Have an excellent evening.